After five, welcome back. We're going to focus here a little bit on affordable child care in this country, and it's bound to come up in election platforms in different ways, and for at least one federal party, it already has even a while ago, but this could be very costly, and in another way, you wonder about the quality of that care. Some parents can't wait for it. They think it's a savior for their kids or the situation that they might find themselves in, but I caught an interesting piece arguing really against the viability of the public model of funded daycare. And a chance to go over that a little bit now with Andrea Morozik, who's Executive Director for the Institute of Marriage and Family Canada. We find her in Ottawa this afternoon where she joins us. Hi, Andrea. Thanks so much for coming on the show.
Oh, thanks for having me.
Give me an idea about your thoughts on let's say, the public models of funded daycare that we're probably going to see touted in some of the upcoming election campaigns, I'm sure.
Right. So I think the concern is that Canadians are being sold a bill of goods, that the type of nationally funded daycare plans that suggest any number of improvements for parents will not come to pass. And the reason why I think this is highly likely is because we have a provincially funded daycare plan in the province of Quebec. And, what we're always told is that this will be very helpful for everyone, but especially lower-income people or single mothers, those who need daycare most. And, in fact, what we see from the research in Quebec is that it's proven to be difficult for lower-income folks to access the daycare system in Quebec. There remain wait lists. Of course, there's all kinds of economic reasons for that. Basically, the main concern I have is that we will replace a difficult problem situation with another difficult problem situation at the cost of billions of dollars to the Canadian taxpayer.
That Quebec model, we hear about that in other provinces. And I think the term or the word that people say, it's $7 a day. Is really the case?
Well, not anymore. It was. It started at $5 a day. It became $7 a day, and it moved up to, I think, $7.50. And now we have the plan, I think, is that the costs would be geared to income, because the premier of the province rightly said he doesn't need the highly subsidized daycare, and it's just too costly. Interestingly enough, there was an article in the National Post today from a group called the Montreal Economic Institute. They talked about the rising costs of the Quebec model and also how it's failed Quebec families in a number of different ways. So, yeah, it's supposed to be possible to provide high-quality child care at very low costs. But the problem is that high-quality child care can't be provided at low costs because our children matter, and it's extraordinarily expensive to do it well in good ratios. So that's why I maintain that I don't have confidence that the federal government is going to be able to offer what some of the European nations are offering. For example, we hear about France and Sweden.
Yeah, and I don't want to think that we're pricing ourselves out of being a parent, especially in those first crucial years when, after it's time to go back to work and the mat leave is over, and let's say dad doesn't have the paternal leave on his side, then you've got to get back to work. You've got to find some people can get by with the help of a family member. That's only if they're close and they can do it. Others with a babysitter or someone that they trust, like a nanny. But if you don't have those options, you're looking at what could be a very costly private option for profit, or you're looking at what might be in some parts of the country, let's say you live in Quebec, a more public option that, let's say, if we can roll out a model like that nationally, you argue too, of course a lot of parents are going to, who are struggling to make ends meet, are going to see a free or low-cost daycare as hard to resist.
Right. Well, I think it changes all the incentives. First of all, I'll address the problems you suggest. Those are true, and parents have a hard time. I guess the ultimate thing is, will we be able to help those parents? And I'm arguing, no, we won't. That this is, if it sounds too good to be true, typically it means it's too good to be true. So got to listen to those promises carefully. But I think you've gotten into, in your latter comments there, into the idea of incentives. And so if the government chooses to fund one form of care, then it does incentivize that care. And many to most of us would say, hey, this is too good to pass up. It's too good a deal to pass up. In the short term, that may be true. In the long term, all of our taxes will rise. And it changes the incentives of around family choices. If you're struggling and you actually do, we have a survey that we did at our institution Institute, the Institute of Marriage and Family Canada, surveyed 2,000 Canadians, representative sample, all that. And 76% of Canadians think the best place for a child under six is at home. So idealistically, at least, we hold that as something that's important. A lot of people think that the time for spending hours and hours in a school-type environment is for later in life. Developmental psychologists, by the way, don't suggest that children attend school environments much before the age of 5 or 6. So you have all of that going on, and then a government steps in and offers really highly subsidized care, and it will skew our desires. We would all find that hard to resist. Meanwhile, I'm not sure it's going to be great for kids. The kind of quality and diversity that people are looking for, I'm highly suspect, cynical, I guess you could say, about whether that would come to pass.
And then there was Ontario that jumped in with the JK and junior kindergarten, and that's caught on in some respects in different parts of the country. But is that too early to be in school? Because a lot of parents in Ontario, when that was introduced some time ago, said, oh, that's one less year I have to worry about footing the bill for daycare.
Right. It did. This is it around the incentives. And with the move to full day kindergarten was very deliberately a move towards introducing daycare in the school systems. And in Ontario, this is my home province here, you just see so much money going into the public school system. Meanwhile, special education's not available. Parents have stories just up and down the block about the type of, legitimately should be accessible care for their older students that isn't there. It's not available. I even had a parent tell me recently that a well-meaning teacher in her child's school asked her if she could possibly remove her son because the teacher knew that the child wasn't getting the care he deserved. So when you hit that point, you have to ask yourself whether expansion of this system at this time is the appropriate course of action, and that's what full-day kindergarten was, and it was deliberately a move toward the idea of the schools as a place where daycare will be offered as part of the public school system. That was definitely the case in Ontario.
Who can step up? Because you mentioned, ideally, it'd be great to not have to have kids to go to school until they're about 5 or 6, but we know reality never rubs up against ideals perfectly in a lot of ways in life, and this is one of those cases where, if it gets to a point where you don't have a public model available and your family doesn't live anywhere close by and you don't trust anyone else to look after your child, you got to look at a costly private system. And for a lot of people, they want to invest in that quality of daycare because usually they end up getting some good quality care from that for the dollar they spend. But, who can afford it? And you've got some mothers that might even, as soon as they know they're pregnant, they want to get themselves on a waiting list.
Yeah, so that's kind of been actually something that a lot of anxiety has been created around the waitlist phenomena. Many women do that, put themselves, their children on a waitlist even before they're born. Couple things. I really think that money to parents is the fairest way to help and assist, and that could be targeted by income more appropriately than a universal daycare program, which is what we're discussing right now. And so that money can be used by parents as they see appropriate. The second thing is that somehow, in some way, we lose our discernment when the government is offering a program. And the discernment level you need for high-quality care is exactly the same, whether it's a school system that's publicly government-run, sanctioned, or a private daycare provider, private care of any kind. These are the same levels of discernment you need to use. And the ways in which parents can check for good quality care are the same regardless of who provides it. So staff ratios would be one aspect. For sure you'd be looking at that for age-appropriate staff ratios, et cetera. So some of the features that allow parents to choose good care simply don't change, whether it's public or private. And where we want to help parents, I think money in their pocket is the better way to go. Certainly a framework of standards can be set up in place on a provincial level, but it actually isn't really a reason to have the federal government involved.
When it comes to, and I think it was just a couple weeks ago or a week ago when money was doled out to families who had kids around the country, that universal child benefit, when that gets sent out by the Harper government, for example, is that enough money to do the job, especially at the time of the year that it's dispensed, when, you know, you've got kids at home during the summer and parents still have to go to work? I still don't even know if that's enough for some families to find a private solution. And then there's always the amount of trust that once it's theirs, but will they spend it on that?
Right. Well, I had a friend who's a single mom and against national daycare, and she said that this money in parents' pockets is better than a slap in the face. Then, of course, you've got a whole group of people saying the money is a slap in the face because it's so small that it's not enough to cover the costs of private daycare. Various places across the country have different rates, but anyone can see it's more expensive than what the government was offering. So a couple of things there. Again, targeted benefits work well for low-income folks who genuinely need support and help. And so a universal system is not targeted. It's the opposite. It basically gives money to the wealthy as it does the same to those who are not wealthy. And that's what I'm arguing against. So I'm arguing in favor of money to those who genuinely need it and against a universal type of system, which is essentially giving money to anyone and everyone, the extraordinarily wealthy included. So the other question I'd have for your listeners is, to what extent is it the role of government to step in and care for our kids? And everyone's going to have a different answer, so I'll leave it as a philosophical question to ask.
Yeah, that's probably the best way to do it, because you would get that many different kinds of answers, I'm sure. One more time on that Quebec model, because we always hear that as the great example, but you say there's, you know, other institutes coming out and saying that it's failed Quebecers and their families. But, you know, what's the level of care like for that? Because you mentioned that the cost for it has edged up, you know, a little bit and a little bit as the years go by.
Well, this is it. When I was saying private or public, there's discernment on parents' part to ensure standards should be high. But the quality of care in Quebec, according to research studies, was always rated as mediocre, that kids were generally safe but not learning and not excelling in any particular way. And that's not me talking. That's the substance of research reports done over the years. So, again, it is very tricky, and it's a challenge for parents. I don't think anybody would claim otherwise, but it's a short number of years when children are small, and a high level of discernment is required to ensure that kids are cared for well. I'm also, in the Quebec model, concerned around the ratios of children to staff, and just generally what it does to the parenting incentives. So how close do parents feel to their kids, and what are they being told around who's the expert on their kids? Every parent is a child care provider. That's the bottom line, and that's how we have to view this and not be looking to experts who are supposedly going to be better able to raise our kids. If parents are stuck and need help, then we should be working with parents and having programs that help work with parents, because even if a child is not thriving at home and daycare proves to be a better situation for that child, the child still goes home at the end of the day. So a more robust solution has to be found, I think, and it's a tricky question, but I guess I'll maintain that the national type of programs won't provide the solutions that we're told they might.
Andrea, it's an interesting take. Thank you so much for doing this.
Oh, thanks for the time.
Andrea Mrozek, who's the Executive Director for the Institute of Marriage and Family Canada, and she's in Ottawa. My mom, when I was growing up, my parents divorced when I was about 7, and I was at school. But, you know, even she mentioned, you know, those critical years when the child is born up until when they go off to kindergarten, let's say, at about, let's say, 5 for many kids. But, you know, there's always those summer months, too. And it doesn't matter how old your child is, if they're under the age of 12 or 13, when they're pretty much able to be on their own at home when you're not there, you've got to come up with some creative solutions in the summer, too, when you're not all on vacation together. And that's tough for all kinds of families. So I remember my mom, as a single mom at the time, sent us to Y Camp. And I think I went to every summer camp possible, but somehow we made it through the summer months. And of course, the grandparents were there to chip in. But like, that's not the same for every family. And some people have to go to more costly models. And there's got to be money for that. And you wonder if we ever had a public model brought forth, and I'm sure we'll hear about them in the various election platforms in some way, shape, or form over the coming weeks. We'll have to see how affordable they would be for taxpayers, as one. And number two, and I'm sure it'll be costly, but number two, what's the guarantee of the quality of care? Is it like that in the for-profit model, or can it be any better for what we pay for? My guess is you're going to get a cookie-cutter approach that might work for you, but how much will that pay off for your child in the long run? We'll take a break. We'll be back.